Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to the Trampoline Hall podcast. I am your host, Misha Globerman. Trampoline Hall, what is it? You know what it is. It's a lecture series. Where does it take place? In a bar, usually in Toronto, but sometimes in other cities. People give lectures on all kinds of topics, the one rule being that they cannot speak on subjects on which they are professionally expert. After each lecture, we take questions from the audience. Here in the Trampoline Hall podcast, what we do is we go back through the vast archives of Trampoline Hall recordings, and in every podcast episode, we choose one lecture and we bring you that lecture along with the question and answer period after. I should warn you about this podcast. As with many podcasts, it may contain mature language. By mature language, I don't mean words that are very old. I mean words that you are not supposed to say around children. So don't say these words around children. You know what they are. And here is this episode's lecture. The topic is pinball, and the speaker is Anna Fitzpatrick.
So pinball, love it. Does anyone here play pinball? Yeah, okay. So I can't actually remember the first time I played pinball, but I kind of remember when I first became obsessed with it. It was a really, really long time ago in this era known as April. And it was, so I just started subletting an apartment on Bellwoods Avenue, which is just like there, but like outside. My apartment was inside, but anyway. So living with this lovely stranger that I had met on Craigslist about 2 weeks before, and to understand the context of where I was living and why it's kind of such a big deal for me to live with a stranger was for about 6 years before that, I was living with my best friend, a really cool lady named Caitlin Ellis. We lived all the way up in Midtown, like Yonge and Eglinton area, because we went to school near there. Our apartment was huge and we only had to pay half of what we're... I don't need to justify it. We lived Yonge and Eglinton. It was a good place. And we lived like kings. No, we lived better than kings. We lived like 15-year-old boys. She had a Super Nintendo, and I worked at a candy store, and we would just eat bags of candy and play Super Nintendo, and we shelled out for cable, and we like scheduled our days around whenever The Simpsons were on. Like, we'd be like, oh, let's go to this party, or they're going to play a good episode on Channel 46. Okay, we'll stay in and watch The Simpsons. So that was our life. We were two adult women watching cartoons and eating candy. And we went out occasionally, but it was such an ordeal that normally we would, like, you know, you had to, like, take the subway, and it gets really cold in winter, and it was, like, an hour commute. So normally we would just hang out at home and drink beer, and I was trying to become a writer, and we would, like, stay up all night and get really drunk, and I would write these stories, and she was an artist, and she would illustrate them, and we, like, fill notebooks together, and... Yeah, like when I was writing this, I had like 30 pages of all the awesome stuff that she and I did together, and then I felt like I had to cut it down. But if anyone wants to hear more stories or like see a picture of Caitlin that I carry on with me or like ask us, you know, like buy the rights for our life movie, I really want to be played by Kristen Stewart, but that's, you know, I'm not picky. But anyway, life was happening, and she fell in love and moved in with her boyfriend, and I was coming downtown more and more for book launches and work stuff, and I thought it made sense, so hence the sublet. And now I was living with a girl who was very nice, but I was trying to pretend that I was a grown-up, like I was eating real food, and I was still watching The Simpsons 20 times a day, but now I was doing it in my room with the door closed, and I'm like, I'm reading books in here, you know, and you could hear the theme song. But one day, I get locked out of the apartment, and I text my roommate, and she's like, yeah, I'm just at class. I'll be home in a couple hours. And I'm like, cool, I'll wait. And it's kind of late, and, you know, coffee shops are closed. I didn't know what to do. There was a bar, the Bar May, which is just, again, right down the street. I go there, and I don't, it's too dark to just kind of sit and read in there, and I really don't feel like talking to anyone or staring straight ahead, but they have this old pinball machine in the corner. So I play, and it's fun, and I don't have to talk to anyone, and I'm just the girl in the corner playing pinball. And then she comes home and lets me in, and life continues. So, living downtown is, like, it's a trip, but it's weirder than I thought it would be. Caitlin still lives in Midtown, but everyone else I know lives, like, a 15-minute walk from me. And I go out a lot more than I used to, like, parties or soirees or shindigs or hootenannies or... but, like, sometimes, like, I'll be running errands and I'll run into people I know. Like, once I went to see this band play, Teen Anger, like, woo. So I make out with this guy. And then the next night, I'm at the 7-Eleven in my pajamas buying tampons. And I run into him. And he's like, I'm like, hey. And he's like, hey. And I'm like, what's up? And he's like, I'm going to a rave in Parkdale. And I'm like, your thing is way more embarrassing than my thing. You know, so, like, life was more exciting in a lot of ways, but I started to realize how quiet it was when I was at home. And so, like, I hesitated putting this part in, but I can't, like, just to give you the state of mind and how much I hated kind of being on my computer for a while, and some of you know where this is going. Earlier this summer, I thought, like, hey, it'd be really cool if I started this community for writers to meet each other and, you know, women who write to talk, and I didn't think anything was going to happen, and then in a week 30,000 people joined, and I'm like, this is really cool, but I don't want it to be like a thing, so please don't write think pieces about it. And then Vogue wrote a think piece about it, and then they quoted me extensively and named me without my consent, and I was like, that's kind of uncool. And then all these people got really mad on my behalf, and that made me even more uncomfortable. And then this famous actress whose movies I had seen in high school and who was also part of the group sent me a message on Facebook and was like, I think you should kick this Vogue writer out of the group. And I'm like, this is not my life right now. I'm going to go to the bar and I'm going to play pinball. So that's kind of what I started doing a lot because, you know, I didn't like being home alone and I didn't like being on my computer for a while. But, you know, you can go down to May and you can, like, spend $2 on a Diet Coke and you can, you know, put quarters in the machine and keep playing. So I'm not going to try and stand here and convince you that recreational pinball is a great form of alternative medicine to fight the symptoms of being an adult. I am not a doctor. I am not an imposter of a doctor. I did go to medical school once to use the washroom, and they were like, Miss, you can't be wandering the halls here. And I'm like, it's okay. I'm a bookseller. And then I had to leave. But I do really think pinball is the best, second best thing ever, the best thing being the Simpsons episode where they steal the lemon tree. But you all know that. You don't need me to tell you how great that is. Anyway. So there are, I want to say, 7 or 8 bars within walking distance from my apartment that have pinball machines. So there's May, there's Get Well, which everyone knows, California Sandwiches, which I was right before I came here, playing a lot of pinball. Monarch Tavern has this really cool Sopranos pinball machine that it's got a little stripper on a pole that if you hit the ball around the ramp, she, like, spins around, which kind of, like, probably offends me on a feminist level, but, like, My pinball level is, like, way higher than that. So, you know, there's like, Black Dice, there's Done Right In. There's Bar Radio in college, which I tried to play once, and it ate my dollar, and it just didn't work. And I'm not holding a grudge about it. I just think you should all know that that's what happened. My favorite one is the Star Wars machine at Unlovable, which you should not play because that one's mine, so you can go to any of the other ones. So it's not as slick as some of the newer ones, but it's got some cool features, and it's only a quarter. A lot of these newer ones are like a dollar each, which is bullshit, whatever. So earlier I made a point of saying recreational pinball, and that is because, as I have learned, competitive pinball is a thing. There are leagues. There are leagues in Toronto. There are websites that will tell you, they keep track of the list and make of every pinball machine available in Toronto with little Google Maps, which are actually kind of fun to use and refer to and find out about new places. Like, the Unlovable Star Wars pinball machine is a Data East machine from circa 1992, so there's that knowledge for you. So these are people that can tell you that in 1947, and I have to read this part, flippers first came on the scene in the pinball machine Humpty Dumpty by D. Gottlieb & Co., and that the invention of flippers revitalized the industry and ushered in the golden age of pinball from 1948 to 1958. And if it sounds like I just copied that word from Wikipedia, I didn't. I copied that word from a pinball exhibit I went to last month. Because, yeah, when I started writing this, I got invited to, like, just randomly on Facebook to go to a pinball-themed art gallery show. And I said that it would be stupid if I didn't go to that, if I'm writing this thing. So it was set up. They had a timeline of the history of pinball around the wall, and they had these old vintage machines there. And there was a Twilight Zone pinball, which is, like, the greatest thing in the world. I think everyone should play it once in their life. But, yeah, so I go. And this is really the first and only time that I've been around pinball obsessives that, you know, are play for blood. And I go up to the gallery opening party, and I am the first guest there. There are three other people there. There is the owner of the gallery, who I immediately recognize as this guy I made out with last year at a party. There is the co-curator of the show, who I immediately recognize as this guy I had been inadvertently talking to on Tinder all week because fuck downtown Toronto. And then there is the third guy, who is also the other co-curator, and I've never seen him before in my life. And I'm like, yes, I'm going to talk to you. And I go up to him, and I'm like, hey, pinball. And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, I love pinball. I love to play it. I'm not very good. And he just looks at me totally deadpan, and he's like, most people aren't. I'm like, okay. So I go and I'm playing pinball and it's fun. And then more people come and these are like the hardcore fans. And then lines start happening. And then they're like playing really hard and getting high scores. And the games are lasting a really long time. Like when I play, it lasts like 30 seconds because, you know, I put the ball in and it kind of comes down and then I'm done. But like there were people there that were playing so aggressively that one guy had like a little handkerchief to wipe down the sweat because that's how into it he was. So I, you know, I played a few games, I got my jollies out, and then I left and went to a different quiet bar so I could play pinball alone. Okay, so here's the thing. I like being a grown-up for the most part. You can, like, eat pizza pretty much whenever you want. I've had it three times in the last day. I didn't even really want it the third time, but it was there. But, you know, sometimes it sucks. Sometimes it's overwhelming and it's hard and it's lonely. And sometimes you kind of just want to go out in the middle of the night and go to a bar and play pinball. And one time a friend was joking with me. She said that you should just, like, you know, invest in a machine to keep in your apartment. And I said, well, that's not the point. Like, I have distractions in my apartment. You know, I have my computer. Like, do you know about the internet? Like, Netflix is great. I watched, like, BoJack Horseman twice in the last week. That's not part of the speech. It's just, you know, I thought I should add that in there because I really like that show. But, you know, like, playing pinball, it forces you to get out of the house. And it's not a joke. It really does. And it's not... It engages you in a way that I don't think people realize. So like when you play, or when I play, not like it's probably different when those guys at the gallery play. But you know, I focus, and you can't really pause the game because you always got to keep the ball in play. It's way cheaper than drugs, but you can still, because most pinball machines are in bars, so you can still get really drunk while you play if you want. And the best thing about it is that the stakes have never been lower. You can't really win pinball. You can try and get a high score and then, like, put a swear word in for your initials. Once I was with a guy and he got really excited because he could put an MUF as the... And I'm like, okay, that's cool. I'm going home now. But, you know, you just want to keep the ball in play. And then when it's done, it's done. And you go home. So my best friend, Caitlin, who I... still my best friend and soulmate. She went on vacation this summer and she, you know, was outside of the country and we could email, but we couldn't text or call each other because of the data fees, you know, and I couldn't see her as often as I wanted to. And it seemed like all of life was happening while she was gone. And I just wanted her to come back so I could, you know, I was like, stop being happy on your vacation and come pay attention to me. So she came back and the first weekend she was back with me and plans to hang out. And I went all the way up to Midtown, where she still lives, and, you know, we had dinner. And then I made her get on the subway with me and on the streetcar, and we went to Dundas West, and we went to Unlovable. And we walk in, and I had 10 bucks, and obviously, you know, I know all these bartenders by this point, and I'm like, hey, give me some quarters. And he's like, sure. And we just played pinball for maybe like 2 hours. And yeah, and we just played. Thank you.
Anna Fitzpatrick, ladies and gentlemen.
You're listening to the Trampoline Hall Podcast. I'm Misha Goldman. Up next, the Q&A.
Are there any questions?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Yes, you, sir, yes.
What are your thoughts on computer or digital pinball?
What about pinball on the computer?
Well, I remember my friend when I was little had a Game Boy, and she had Pokemon pinball, and I thought that was the coolest thing in the world because I wasn't allowed video games, so I thought any video game was really cool.
Right.
And that's probably also why I like Kaylin was because she had a Super Nintendo, and, you know, that was our reason for our whole friendship. I'm not anti them. I'm not like some pinball purist, but you know, I just don't see the appeal personally.
Right. So you're not. Yeah, right. You're not anti them, but you're not.
I'm not gonna like go into people's houses and smash their computers so they can't play. But I won't. I won't play it.
I'm happy to hear that.
Somewhere in between.
In between those two extremes of someone who would smash someone's computer.
Like I won't tell you where on the.
And someone
on
who
the
would actually
am,
play
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
You might just okay. All right. That's fair. Well, yes, you ma'am. Isn't there a city, which is a good way to start it, isn't there a Toronto bar that says you can't have more than two pinball machines in a bar?
I don't own a bar, so that's never been a problem for me. But, I mean...
Have you ever seen more than two pinball machines
not
in a bar?
Not in Toronto.
Bar. No, you never have.
Like, some bars have more than two arcade games,
but usually... No more than two pinball machines. I can think of no reason why that would be the case, except for the law.
Yeah.
Does anyone know? Is anyone like here a pinball lawyer? Yeah, you. Yes, you, sir.
Sorry, I'm not a pinball lawyer.
Right, but you know this answer? Do you know this?
Apparently, I was just talking about this with somebody like within a week, and apparently you can't have more than I think two or three pinball machines because used to be a law where if there were a lot of video game like arcade machines, people would mostly go there to sell drugs, so they made a law where you couldn't have more than a number of arcade machines in an establishment.
That's so funny.
But why would anyone do drugs when they have pinball?
It's a good point. Well, I'm glad we cleared that up. Thank you. Any other questions? Anything else? Yes, sir.
Would you be willing to share more about the website story?
Would you tell us more about the website story about the 30,000?
I can't talk about it with men. There's a rule.
You there's a rule that you can't talk about it with men?
I made that rule, but.
Okay. All right. That's awesome. That's
yeah.
All right. Well, okay. I think the only answer, I think, is for the men to leave the room, and then you ladies can talk about that for a while.
And this was kind of the original goal with starting the website, so.
Wait, the original goal was to have a way to not talk to men?
Yeah. That was kind of exactly it.
Lots of men are whooping. They're trying to drown out your discourse. That's all we know. There's a group. There's 30,000 people in it.
28,000. Exaggerated.
You exaggerated. You thought it wasn't. You thought it was an interesting story with 28,000 people.
28,000.
28,000. All right, that's fair. You rounded. Okay, that's fair. But we're not going to find out about it because you can't tell men about it.
Right.
Well, now I just feel bad.
Yeah.
Well, that was a terrible question. All right, let's move on to something that doesn't. We want to think it doesn't make me feel so horrible. Yes, you, sir.
Did you start venturing outside of that 7-bar radius?
Right. So now that you have a website that shows all the pinball machines in Toronto, do you go outside of your neighborhood and go to like faraway pinball machines?
Well, okay, so funny story. It's actually not that funny, but it's a story. So I found one of those maps. It was a website that said link to maps in Toronto or link to a map of pinball machines in Toronto. And without even really looking at it, I take the link and I email it to Caitlin. And I'm like, look at this awesome thing I found, because this is how we're friends now, is emailing each other links. Best friends. and she replies and she says, there are only two pinball machines on this and we've been to both of them. And I realized that that map hadn't been updated in a really long time, but there is another map that I found. And yeah, I've been to some of those, but they're mostly pretty isolated, and then the rest of them are all like in Mississauga.
Right, so you're going really far away to go to like one pinball machine. It's not so
and
great.
They're pretty much all concentrated in this area. Like there's a
this
few
is
in the
pinball.
Junction.
We are in the pinball district here.
Yeah, yeah. I was really impressed. I was like, good job, Anna, and picking this spot randomly.
I was surprised there were that many pinball machines here, because that's sort of like, I didn't even know they had them anymore. I thought that they were like, of the past.
I think 3030 in the Junction has three machines.
Has three machines? Ixnay. That's the sort of thing they get in trouble for. How are you? So you say you're not very good. Is that
like I'm decent, but I've never gotten a high score.
All right.
I've played for more than 5 minutes on one quarter, which I think is pretty good. All right.
Do you care? Like, do you want to get good? Is it your goal to get good?
I just want to play. Once I was at a bar and a guy came up to me and was like, "Let's play a tournament game." And he kept trying to show me tricks. He's like, "You can kind of like hit the table and you try and get up this ramp." And I'm just like, "Cool," but I just
want to play pinball.
Yeah.
Do you have like specific feeling? How do you feel about like tilting? Are you like a physically aggressive player? Do you
The only time I've tilted it is when like the ball gets stuck.
Oh, really? So you never.
It's no.
You just like no tilt.
I don't want to physically exert myself when I play pinball. Like,
how are you?
I don't go there to move.
Do you like machines that have lots of like gadgets and gizmos on them? Like you like the one where, like if you have to like build a gun and then it shoots the gun and like that.
I never really know what I'm supposed to do, but I like I hit the flippers extra hard and it's kind of fun.
But you're not like going for like you're not trying to like collect all seven pineapples.
No,
you don't know. You're just
exactly
like
every so often it'll happen. It'll be like you saved Princess Leia and I'm like cool, but I don't know how I did it.
You don't know how you did it. Okay, all right. So you're not good. Okay. Anything else people wanted to know? Yes, you ma'am, yes.
So have you developed any new muscles that
Do you have any new muscles?
I don't think so. I mean, the most exercise I get out of playing pinball is when I walk to the bar to play pinball, and then there's too many people there, so I'll walk to another bar, but they're usually like pretty close together. Maybe I was going to say hand cramps, but I've never actually felt that. That just
seemed I don't know
like
if that's a, yeah.
So carpal tunnel, but like I'm on my computer anyway all the day.
Right, so that's true. Yeah, it's like, okay. Yeah. So no, the answer to that is no to your question. Yes, you, sir.
Do you like the newer ones that are really busy with all sorts of lights or the older classic ones?
Do you like the newer ones that are really busy with all sorts of lights or the older classic ones?
I kind of like the in-between ones because the newer ones, sometimes they're fun, but they're also more, like I said, they're like usually a dollar, which I think is too much for one game. The really old ones, I find the flippers are too spaced out and it's really hard to use. I like the ones from the 90s, which is the one that the Star Wars one is.
So that's for you, that's the golden age, that sweet spot is the 90s. The 90s pinball machines,
like,
my friend.
I like the way the really old ones look, but they're, not as fun.
All right, cool. Any other questions? Anything else you want to know? Yes, you, sir.
What are your thoughts on the musical / rock opera Tommy?
How do you feel about Tommy, the rock opera, about pinball? Do you have about
I listened to it when I was starting to write this. It didn't give me any good writing tips about writing about pinball, which was, it wasn't a waste of time. I kind of enjoyed it, but...
Right,
it
didn't inspire you.
This
lecture isn't based on Tommy.
No, I bought the album when I was in high school because they mentioned it in the movie Almost Famous, and she's like, listen to it with the candle burning and you'll see your future, and I did that, and I didn't see my future, but I was like...
See your future?
No, I didn't.
Oh, you didn't?
The movie lied to me.
Oh, well, I'm sorry to hear. Listen to the live version. All right, that's a good tip. I'm all the way in the back. Yes, you, sir. We'll try you again.
All of the very lovely psycho-spiritual things aside, there was a thing that you said that completely drove me crazy, was this that some quaint flippers were invented? And I was like,
I looked this up, and it's kind of hard to explain it, I think, without seeing it in person. I just saw pictures on the internet, but the way that, like, the really old pinball machines, like, 100 years old, were kind of had the same origin as billiards tables, and then they had these pegs in it, these pins, if you will, that came out of the table, and then you had to try and get the ball from one end to the other, I think, with like a billiard cue almost, and it kept hitting all these pins on the way. And then they added the flippers to replace the cue.
So it was a different game, obviously. Like, it wasn't just like the ball would come down and you would lose. Just like, oh, you lose. He'd be like, this game is frustrating.
Yeah, it was really like, it was a big scam to steal quarters from the children, you know?
It was more of like a game of chance, I assume, like a pachinko machine or something like right? Is that like that kind of like the ball would fall down?
Like, I don't want to posit myself as like a pinball historian, but based on the Wikipedia article that I read, that seems to be, and the like little timeline I saw at the gallery, which I think they read the same Wikipedia article I did because,
All right. Okay. So we know that we know.
Or they wrote
bit.
The Wikipedia article. Who knows?
Do you? It's multi-ball. Is multi-ball fun for you? Or is it like stress
you out? No, it's stressful.
Out? Okay. It's like too much.
It's too much.
So you get multi-ball. You just.
It's exciting when I did it because I feel like I've achieved something. But then they just, you know, they're all coming and then it's too stressful and then I tend to lose right away. It's like I like the idea of multi-ball more than actually. Like
Fair enough. I think
like
a lot of us.
Metaphor for life.
Yeah. How can I ask you how it's a metaphor for life?
You can't think too hard about it.
All right. Yes, you over there. Yes, ma'am.
Do you have like a holy grail pinball machine you hope to find?
Do you have a holy grail pinball machine you hope to find?
So yeah, when I was a kid, I remember on vacation in Australia, actually, they had the Addams Family pinball. And I had always this in the back of my mind as being the super rare pinball machine. And when I Googled, it was actually the most famous like the reason like responsible for the pinball renaissance. And in fact, the whole reason I learned this at the show I went to, the Twilight Zone game, the only reason they made that, because they're like, look, the weird Addams Family one did so well, you should do the weird gothy Twilight Zone one. But they don't have a public one to play in Toronto. I did find an old website like from the 90s. Like it looks like some guy from The Matrix probably made it that had like like an index of everyone who's ever bought the Addams Family pinball machine because that is
what
they all have like serial numbers and they so it's not an updated
if
list.
If you buy a pinball machine, you end up in like some pinball registry. It's a very tightly controlled thing.
Feel like
you have to like knock and be like, oh, I'm moving next door and I have a pinball machine. You
I
can
feel
see
like
them on a map.
Collectors might volunteer this information for their pinball. Reasons.
That's so weird, but they don't track everyone who played. Like, you're not in there.
I hope not, because they'll be like, this girl plays a lot, and she's not very good.
But I'm sorry to interrupt you. So they tracked all the Addams Family machines, and then what did you
but
find?
So, well, no, like, people still have them, but there are none in bars in Toronto to play. They just opened, I'm from Ottawa, and they just opened this place called House of Targ, which is just this venue full of pinball machines.
Is that in Ottawa or here?
It's in Ottawa. Okay. And I've been back to Ottawa a few times, so I've never had the chance to go because I'm always like visiting my grandma and stuff. But I would like to, you know.
Is Targ like Ottawa slang for fun?
Probably. I was never very cool in Ottawa, so.
So you never had any fun or used any slang?
So like, you know, kids used all kinds of words that I didn't know what they meant.
All right. Yes, you ma'am, yes. Was there a gender divide among the intense pinball players?
It was actually very funny and kind of cute. Where when I was at the pinball, the gallery show, I mentioned that I was writing something on pinball, and I get a Facebook message later from a gentleman who I thought. You know, he wanted to help, and he's like, you should write something about how, like, depictions of women in pinball games are really sexist. And I'm like, that's a good idea. I'm not going to do it, but, you know, thank you for your suggestion, because I think he was trying to help. And that's, you know, he knew that I cared about gender issues, so he thought I should write about drawings of, like, probably, like, the stripper in the...
But, does that answer your question? Wasn't exactly just tell me about gender and pinball.
But there are a lot of dudes that play, from what I've noticed.
Yeah, that would be.
I guess
what?
Was there any like super great female?
Are there any really great female pinball players? Is the next.
There were women at the gallery show I went to, but I never hung around long enough. All the people I've seen who are really hardcore into it, like getting the high scores, were dudes. But I've never investigated. I'm sure there is, like, I'm sure there needs to be a movie, like a Whippet-style movie that Drew Barrymore can direct with, like, you know, like, these, like, feminist underdog pinball players, and I would watch the shit out of that, like.
let's end with the vision of that hope. That sounds really nice.
To answer your question, yes.
All right, and ladies and gentlemen, there's Anna Fitzpatrick, ladies and gentlemen. Trampoline Hall was created in Toronto in the 21st century by Sheila Hetty and is hosted by me. This episode's lecture was chosen by Naomi Squarna. The podcast is produced by Josh Block. Our theme music was composed by Matt Smith. Our coordinating producer is Kate Bars. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. You can also find us on Twitter or Facebook. If you enjoyed the podcast, you can really help us out by leaving a rating or review on iTunes. It helps a lot. I'm Misha Globerman. Thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.